Turn your Bibles this morning to Job chapter 25. We'll be reading four verses of Job chapter 25, verses 1 through 4. And I'll read the odd verses. You'll join with me on the even verses this morning. And if you found Job chapter 25, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Job chapter 25, beginning in verse number 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be that is born of a woman?" And let's pray this morning. Again, Heavenly Father, it's good to open up your book and be a part of the service this morning. And Lord, we need you. We're needy people. And so, Lord, I pray you speak through your messenger, the preacher this morning. Give us listening ears and open hearts. Prepare our hearts before the messages, the song sung. In your name we pray. Amen.
My trembling heart and brow, fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come and come and fill me now. Fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill. Fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how, but I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Fill me now. Fill me now. And fill me now, fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now. I am weakness, full of weakness, at thy sacred feet I bow. Bless divine, eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now. Cleanse and comfort, bless and save me, bathe, oh bathe my heart and brow.
Draw your attention, if you keep your Bible open, to these verses in Job chapter 25, and I'm going to deal mainly with verse number 4, where we have two questions in the same verse. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman. I want to speak to you on this subject today, question and answer. All right? We're going to let the Bible ask the question. We're going to let the Bible give the answer this morning. So let's pray together as we begin. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll come and have your way in this service. Speak to our hearts. We've had a wonderful time of fellowship and seeing people that we haven't seen for a while, shaking hands, renewing acquaintance with others, and then, Lord, visiting with folks that are here every week. It was just fun during Sunday school and good time. Now, Lord, please come in these moments and deal with our hearts. May we hear what you have to say to us, and may you speak through your word to us today. In Christ's name is my prayer, and amen. Job was one of the earliest Bible characters. Some people place the story of Job chronologically within the book of Genesis, which of course is the first book in the Bible. Most people are somewhat familiar with Job's story. I'm not going to take the time to labor through all of that story. Let me just tell you this. Job was a very wealthy man, and Job had a lot going for him family-wise and children and health and about everything that the average American would think, you know, is the source of happiness. Job had it all going for him. And God gave the devil permission to take most of what Job had. God gave permission to the devil to take his possessions. The devil took his children. And the devil took his health. And when he got through with him, basically Job was left with his wife and his life. And there's so much I could say about all that this morning, but that's not the theme of my message. There were four friends who came to attempt to comfort Job in his sorrow and in his grief. Three of them came together, and then one man on the outside kind of pitched in toward the end of the book. In verse number one, we are introduced to one of his friends. Actually, this is the second time that this friend speaks in the book of Job. His name is Bildad. He's probably the shortest guy in the Bible. The Bible says he was the Shuhite. And so, I know, huh? That's over your head, I know. He's just a few inches shorter than Nehemiah. Okay, but anyway, on to the more important things here. Bildad the Shuhite, okay? And in this, folks, if you get up here, you think of funny stuff to say, okay? But once in a while, it doesn't go over. It didn't, so it's all right. In the conversation with Job, Bildad makes a point of reminding Job how glorious God is. Let me take you through this just real quickly. Look at verse number 2 where Bildad said, "Dominion and fear are with him." You know, Bildad was saying, God is the sovereign Lord of all. He possesses dominion. Now, you know what dominion is, friend? That is uncontestable authority. Uncontestable authority. Listen to this verse in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Don't turn to it. I'm quoting now from the Bible, Daniel 4. "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth." Now listen to this. "And none can stay his hand." None can stop God. "Or say unto him, what doest thou?" In other words, no one says to God, "What are you doing?" Nobody puts God on the hot seat. Nobody calls God on the carpet. Nobody holds his feet to the fire because he has uncontestable authority. And so with that kind of power, it stands to reason that all people should fear him. And the right kind of fear. That's why it says dominion and fear are with him. And friend, let me just say this. I don't have time to preach this. But either we will choose to fear God or we will be made to fear God. And it's a whole lot better if we choose to fear him. Okay? So he says dominion and fear are with him. Then look at the end of the verse 2 there. "He maketh peace in his high places." Bildad said, you know, not only is God the sovereign Lord of all, God lives in perfect peace. His home is in the heavens. And there God lives and dwells in complete tranquility. The angels, the sun, the moon, the stars, all do His will. And God dwells in perfect peace. Now think about how differently that is from being here on earth. How different it is in heaven. You take a globe, spin that globe and stop it with your finger. And wherever your finger lands, if it's on a piece of real estate somewhere in the world, if you take your finger just a few miles, a few inches away from where your finger lands, you'll find that there's some kind of war or turmoil or some kind of degree of difficulty going on, because that's what happened. That's what planet Earth experiences. Unrest, war, turmoil. The Bible even talks about, man, beware when you hear of wars and rumors of wars. But in heaven, God lives in perfect tranquility. Perfect peace. Now, what you say, when you look what he said in verse number 3 there. He asked a question, is there any number of His armies? Not only is God the sovereign Lord of all, not only does God live in perfect tranquility and peace, He has tremendous power. Tremendous power. He is all powerful, but not only is He all powerful, there is no number to His armies. These angelic armies stand ready and willing to do as He commands. If you read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you'll run across this name, the Lord of Hosts. The Lord of Hosts. That's a military term for God. It would be like you and I calling Barack Obama, President Obama, Commander-in-Chief. He's the Lord of Hosts. He is the Lord over all this angelic realm of beings who make up His armies. And then look what He said at the end of verse 3, and upon whom doth not His light arise? God's providence is worldwide. Listen, He is involved and interested and invested in all people. Now, sometimes as Americans, you know, we kind of get the idea that we've got a monopoly on God. But He's not an American God. He's not an English God or a Brazilian God or a Japanese God or a French God. His providence, His light extends to all people worldwide. He's the God of this world. His mercy, His grace, His love, His concern is enough for all people worldwide. Now, I've taken about, 4 minutes here through these first two or three verses in the chapter 25. This is just a brief description of how high and how holy and how lifted up God is above all of us on planet Earth. You know, there was a day, and I wish it were this way today, but there was a day in our country when America as a whole recognized the majesty of God. There was a day, friend. I'll tell you, now look, I am not being unkind or ugly, but you know, there was a day when not much went on Sunday, because it was God's day. It was Sunday. It was the Lord's day. And as a whole, our nation, the people in America, recognized the majesty of God. There was a respect, there was a reverence that many people exhibited, but that's very rare now. It's very uncommon. It ought not to be that way, but it is. So Bildad, he makes some very true and he makes some very honest points about how high and how powerful God is. There is none higher. There is none more powerful. There is none who has more invested in planet Earth, in the people of planet Earth, than the God of heaven. And then Bildad asks a startling question, two of them, in fact, in verse 4. How then? Because of what he just said in verses 2 and 3. How then? Because God is the sovereign Lord of all, because He lives in perfect peace and tranquility, and what goes on earth never disturbs anything in heaven. Because He has this innumerable number of angelic armies. Because His providence extends worldwide. Seeing how high God is, seeing how holy God is, seeing how perfect God is, how then can man be justified with God? How can man be right with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? In essence, his two questions both touch on the same subject matter. And this it is. This is what it is. Seeing God is so high and so holy and so powerful and so right, how on earth can man ever be right with his Creator? That's what he's asking. How on earth can man ever be right with his Creator? And you know what is interesting, people, is that Bildad doesn't even speak of how low man is compared to God, because honestly, that's a waste of time. Because look at, when man starts with God, now listen, when man starts with God and sees how holy God is, and sees how powerful God is, and sees how pure God is, the comparison is plain as the nose on your face. See, our society today is inundated with humanism. Man is not taught to start with God. That was somebody taking a table down, and really, they ought not. They can wait till that later. That's okay if you heard something that was a table leg popping. I'm sorry that that happened. But anyway, when you start with man, which is what humanism does, humanism starts on this level. Humanism takes a horizontal outlook. Then, you know, you kind of get the idea that mankind looks pretty good. He's got wealth. He's got this. He's got that. He can do this. He can do that. But when you start with God, which is how we ought to start, when you start with a vertical look like Bildad did, he started with God. And then you come down and take a look at man. You don't even have to debate or argue, is there any difference between the Creator and His creation? It's perfectly obvious. It's as plain as the nose in your face. It's what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw God high and lifted up in all of His holiness, in all of His righteousness. And you know what Isaiah's first words were that came out of his mouth? Woe is me. You know, if I compare myself with Brother Bragg, I might find some reason, some way to boast. Maybe I've got an edge on Brother Bragg somewhere. Brother Bragg compares himself to Brother Todd. You know, maybe Brother Bragg's got an edge on Brother Todd. Pretty soon you can start thinking pretty highly of yourself. But when you start with God, you're left with what Isaiah said. Woe is me. And so Bildad points out how holy God is. God's high, God is lifted up, He is above all, He has complete dominion, authority, and power, perfect peace, infinite strength. You throw man up against God, and there's no need to debate or argue the comparison, because there is none. And so now you understand Bildad's question. How then is it possible for man to be right with his Creator? We're talking about a vast difference. How can he be clean that is born of a woman? That's the question. Now, can we let the Bible give the answer? First of all, break it down into three points for you this morning. There is an answer to that question, how then can man be justified with God? Let me say, number one this morning, that God initiated a plan. God initiated the plan. You see, God's aware, friend, listen very carefully, God's aware there's a vast gulf between Him and us. He's aware of that. And so He initiated a plan. This is the wonderful news for mankind, that God is more interested in us being right with Him than we are being right with Him. You know, truth of the matter is, we should take the initiative. We should seek Him. But in reality, God took the first step in this matter. You know, the truth is, God did something really radical to initiate the plan. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to become the only sacrifice for mankind's sin. And before I tell you how Jesus did this, let's stop and consider what we just said. God sent His only begotten Son from heaven to earth so we could be right with our Creator. It was His plan. Look, this is not usually how it works. The creditor comes to the one in debt and says, "You owe me, pay me." And the one in debt may say, "I got nothing to pay. Help me. Work with me." And the creditor says, "I've worked with you long enough. Pay me." That's the story. God comes to man. The creditor comes to the debtor. and says, look, you owe me, but you can't pay me, so let me help you. I will make it possible for you to pay me, and it won't cost you anything. I'll bear all the cost. Say, what? Yeah. God initiated the plan. It was all His idea. It was all in His heart. It was all His desire. The remarkable thing is that God loves us enough to initiate a plan where you and I can be right with our God. That most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved. Don't take that little word so out of there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. God wants all people to be right with Him, and in order to do so, He initiated a plan to make it happen. How then can man be justified with God? If God is so high, holy, lifted up, and He is, compared to man, so low, so down here, how can man be right with his Creator? Well, God initiated a plan by sending His Son Jesus to this earth. Number two, let me say this morning, that God isolated the payment. God isolated the payment. Now listen, God initiated the plan, and that plan included a payment because, here it is, man's sin had to be paid for. Now look at the question in verse number 4. The second question, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? You say, Pastor, why do you ask that question? Why does it say what it says there? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Because every human that comes forth from a mother's womb has within himself or herself the nature of sin. We are unclean from birth. And I'm not talking about, how should I say it, all the stuff on the outside. Babies have to be taken immediately down to the nursery or sometime, you know, they get washed and scrubbed up. I never forget when Cherith was born and we took the kids down after the Wednesday night service. I was at the hospital with Joyce. Heather Roberts, who became Heather Lowe, was here then. And Heather brought all the kids, the other five kids, down to the Riverside OB there, labor and delivery. And they had Cherith in the nursery. And those nurses were, I mean, they were working her over, man, cleaning her up. And, of course, she's screaming. Like the babies do. And Abby stood there and Abby was red in the face, and she had that horse face look that she always gets when she gets mad. She was mad and she was red and the tears were trickling down her. I said, Abby, what's the matter? Look at what they're doing to my sister. Can't believe you see what they're doing to my sister. There, I said, honey, they're just cleaning her up. But that's not the dirt I'm talking about. That's not the uncleanness I'm talking about. I'm talking about the uncleanness on the inside. I'm talking about why you never have to teach a kid how to tell a lie. You don't have to have lying lessons. You don't have to have selfish lessons. We're born with a sin nature. That's why he asked the question, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Here's a little child, a little grandson back in the nursery. Was he a month old now? 5 weeks old. The little guy's back there, he's got a sin nature. He got it from him. Well, the trouble is, he got it from me. If you come Wednesday night, I can point out the fellow I got it from. My dad and mom will be here Wednesday night. So, it's just kind of passed down from human to human, isn't it? That's why he asked the question. So sin is in the heart. Sin is what needs to be cleaned up. Sin is what needs to be washed away. Sin is what needs to be forgiven. And the one and only thing that can wash away the sin of a person's heart is the blood of Jesus Christ. He isolated the payment. When he initiated the plan, send Jesus to earth, he isolated the payment. The Bible says this in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. When I say God isolated the payment, I mean there is only one way, only one sacrifice for sin that God will accept. When God initiated the plan to send Jesus, in effect, he isolated the payment. This is the only payment I will accept for sin. The sacrifice of my Son on Calvary, the cross, where He shed His blood and died, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. God said, that's the only payment I'll accept. You know, back to the idea, the illustration of the creditor. I am confident that a mortgage contract, and probably any other loan contract from a financial institution here in the United States of America, stipulates that the money be repaid in U.S. dollars. I would think that's true. Right? The money is paid in U.S. We loaned it out in U.S. dollars. Now you pay it back in U.S. dollars. Now see what you can do. You can build you a huge chicken house and fill it with hens. And you can get you some conveyor belts like I was in out there in the East Coast in the state of Maine years ago. And I went to my brother-in-law's place there in Turner, Maine. Saw DeCoster egg farms. And I mean thousands upon thousands of chickens laying eggs. And they were all cackling and just carrying on them. He said, all these thousands of eggs. And you can get you a semi-trailer load full of eggs and pull up over here at the bank. Walk in and ask to see the branch manager. Say, listen, it's time for my mortgage payment. Got a semi-load of eggs out here for you. I don't think he's going to be impressed. You might have a good breakfast, but you're not going to get anything on your loan. Because the loan stipulated that it had to be repaid in U.S. dollars. Folks, there is only one payment for sin. Now listen, let me explain this to you. Listen very carefully. You and I have tainted blood. Tainted blood? Am I sick? Sinful blood. The life of the flesh, the sin nature of mankind, is passed through the blood, from bloodline to bloodline to bloodline. So a bank makes a loan in U.S. dollars. The loan has to be paid back in U.S. dollars. God says, you've got tainted blood. And the only thing that can wash your sin away is pure blood. And where are you going to find pure blood? Because I start looking around this room, I don't see anybody sitting here with pure blood. You know why? Because we're all born of a woman. With a dad, with a father. But there was one whose the Bible says blood was pure and precious, spotless. It was the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Yes, He came from the womb of the Virgin Mary, who'd never known a man physically. God was His Father. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary's womb, conceived in her womb, the Holy One, Jesus Christ. And He was born of a virgin's womb. And He grew up in this life for 33 and a half years with sinless, spotless, pure, righteous blood. Then He went to the cross and gave it. Shed it all. It is that sacrifice of His blood is the only sacrifice for sin that God will accept. You can get baptized a million times. It will never wash your sin away. You can join a million churches. It'll never wash your sin away. You can turn over a million new leaves in life. It'll never wash your sin away. You have to come trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, it doesn't matter which road you take. We'll all end up at the same place. That's not true. Can't be true. Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So obviously not everybody ended up at the same place. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto Thomas, Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Watch me. God initiated the plan and He isolated the payment. He said, folks, if you and I could work our way to heaven, pray our way to heaven, baptize our way to heaven, why did Jesus come? Why did He go to a cross? He initiated the plan. He isolated the pavement. Number three, I'm done. God invited every person. He invited every person. God initiated the plan, isolated the pavement, and He invited every person to come and be made right. I don't have time this morning to give you all the Bible verses that teach every person is invited, but over and over again, the Word of God tells us everyone is invited to be saved. Everyone is invited to be made right with God. Here it is, 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, God loves you, my friend, and He proved that love by sending His Son Jesus. Listen, God proved that love by doing something extremely radical. Think about it. Think about it for a minute. Here's God, high, lifted up, holy. Here's man, born of a woman with a sin nature. How then can that man, that woman, that boy, that girl be right with His Creator? God did something radical. He initiated the plan, isolated the pavement, and invited everybody to be saved. That's how much God loved you. How then can man be justified with God? Can I tell you this morning? Multiplied thousands of people have been made right with God through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a faith. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of believing that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and putting your complete and entire trust in Him to save you and make you right with your God. Multiplied thousands have found out how man can be right with his Creator. How about you? Are you right with your Creator this morning? Are you saved? You know, God did something extremely radical when He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. I know there are many in the room this morning who are saved. You've given testimony of being saved. You've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. But there might be some here this morning who aren't sure of heaven. You're not sure of it. Never having nailed it down. Oh, you got a mental belief in God, but there's never been this heart trust and acceptance of the payment that Jesus made on the cross for your sin. You know what? I want to ask you to do this. You know, God did something extremely radical when He sent His Son Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something extremely radical if you're not saved. In just a minute, we're going to have what we call an invitation. We have it every Sunday here at the church. We're going to bow our heads, close our eyes. Nobody's going to be looking. And if you're not sure that you're saved, if God was willing to do something so radical to send His Son Jesus to die on this earth, I'm going to ask you to do something radical too. That's leave your seat. We won't be looking. Come down here. We have ladies to talk to ladies. We have men to talk to men. This is not about becoming a Baptist. This is not about joining a church. This is not about anything more than finding out, nailing it down, how can I be right with my Creator? That's it. That's it. I promise you. And I'm going to tell you, it's exactly what happened to me 39 years ago. I got in my seat. And I went forward and let somebody show me from the Bible how I could be made right with God. Justified. God did something radical for me. I needed to do something radical for Him. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your attention. Let me ask a couple of questions. And just be honest. All I ask is that you be honest with yourself, with God today. Who would say, Brother Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know that heaven is my home. I know where I'm headed when I die. I'm going there. It's settled. I've been made right with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can raise your hand and say, I have done that. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you slip your hand in the air just as a testimony a sign of that today. God bless you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand. Didn't raise my hand just then. I did not raise my hand when you asked just a moment ago how many folks knew they were saved. I didn't raise my hand then, but I'd raise it now. Have you pray for me as you close the service, just in a generic prayer. Would you slip your hand up right now? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you this morning. Ask God to touch your heart, speak to you about salvation. In the balcony, the lower floor, side to side, front to back. Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure I'm saved. Didn't raise my hand just a moment ago, but I'm willing to raise it now. All right? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and say, Pastor, I have been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? In the service this morning, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? All right, very good. Now listen, when the music starts in just a moment, invitation time, if you're not sure that you're saved, God did something very radical by sending His Son Jesus to this earth so that you could be saved. I don't think it's even that radical, really, to ask you to come forward with nobody looking, heads bowed, eyes closed, come down here and tell one of these men, I'd like for somebody to show me from the Bible how to be saved. Today is the day. This is the day. I put it off, I put it off, I put it off. But today, this matter of being right with my Creator is so overwhelming on my mind and heart, I'm not going to put it off another day. This is it. I ask you to do that in just a minute when we stand. Heavenly Father, I preached your Bible, your Word this morning. I pray that you'll take the Bible and touch hearts with it. I pray, God, that you'll please help us today. I pray for anybody here this morning, Lord, who is not sure of their salvation. God, would you please reach out with your finger and touch their heart today. Show them their need of Christ and bring them to the Savior. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want just the piano this morning playing a song of it. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed as she plays. Would you come this morning? Would you let us show you how to be saved? Would you step out and come? How then can man be justified with God? You didn't raise your hand a moment ago. Now's the time. Don't put it off another day. Why don't you come and receive Christ this morning? Slip out of your seat. Come right down the aisle where the fellows are standing. They'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'd love for you to come while we wait this morning. Some have come just to pray about things in their life. Would you come? Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'd love to have that opportunity this morning. This is the day. Don't put it off another day. How then can man be justified with God? What a great question. And the Bible has the answer. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again for your salvation. Come and be made right with Him today. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart while we wait this morning.